to the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one show to bring you all things Club America and English.
Oh, what a strike, Club America!
Your hosts for today are Ivan Pineda, Cristian Rosendo, Alexis Juarez, and everyone's favorite cowboy, Dylan Jimenez.
Goal!
Now let's hit the field and start the show.
America!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. The Apertura 2023 is upon us. I'm your host, Ivan, and we're going to be talking all things Club America, getting you guys ready ahead of the first match day against FC Juarez. And joining me today to talk all things Club America, it is none other than my beloved co-host, the Wonder Kid himself, the cowboy of all cowboys, Mr. Dylan Jimenez. Dylan, how are you, my friend?
Good, man. You know, just trying to stay cool in this Texas heat. Not very kind to me right now, but we'll just keep things rolling here as I try to stay cool in front of this fan.
Thank goodness for AC, am I right?
No, oh, yeah, definitely, dude. Definitely thank goodness for AC, but here we are. It's over 100 here, so.
Oof, and you know, Chris would probably have chimed in if he was talking about this, about our setting heat wave over here in Southern California, but it's nothing compared to what you guys have going over there, so. So far, we're living a good life here in Southern California with a little bit of heat that we have going. So I guess I want to say I kind of feel your pain, but nothing really close to what you're feeling. Because you were telling me, too, that there's about to be rain. So I can only imagine what the humidity is going to be like.
Oh, dude, it already feels like an oven. It's just going to bake even more with the humidity.
No one wants to be around Texas right now with that humidity. So. But funny enough, it's always the Weather Channel at the beginning of these podcasts that never seem to. Is that just a typical icebreaker, Dylan? Do you think it's just how's the weather, or what? You think that's just kind of the way it goes everywhere?
I think this is how it goes because, I mean, right now it's obviously the truth. But for me, because it's like supposed to be like 100 right now, but with looking at the heat index, it's like 115, dude, and that's not fun at all.
Not fun at all. And well, let's maybe talk about something that should be a little bit fun. And that's our Águilas de América coming back with some hope and aspirations to finally lift the 14th is André Jardine. I think that's how you pronounce it. The man that's going to lead us to the 14th, Dylan.
Yeah, you hope so. I mean, obviously, you know, I think some of us, like especially Chris and AJ and Christian, I think they're pretty excited for him, and you know, I can't lie, I'm pretty excited too, especially with the way he's been talking with the team, especially I think it was before their second preseason game. It's building a lot of confidence, but at the same time, I look at it and just like, okay, like you can say all this, but like now you need to show it in the field on the pitch, and you know, bring the best out of this team to get us to where we want to be.
No, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, we've had coaches come and go that tend to say the right things, just never seem to kind of deliver on their word. A perfect example is Solari, right? Man was just perfectly well-spoken and, you know, the team didn't deliver at the end of the day. So he had to go. And I'm not going to lie to you, hearing him speak the way that he speaks about his opportunity and whether or not he was the first choice or whatever, like he's just grateful to be at America, and he sounds like he's up for the challenge, and he sounds like he's already manifesting that he's going to win trophies with America. And that's, I think, something a little bit more nicer to hear than what other coaches usually say. Well, you know, we have our objectives. We know that we have to be champions, yada, yada, yada. Kind of, you know, tiptoe around the situation. Jardine kind of just went straight forward. It's like, yeah, want to be champions. We need to be champions. Got to do everything because I want to be a champion. And he's kind of already putting himself in that cornerstone to be the man to lead us there. And it's nice. It's nice to see kind of a shift in tone. Like I said, he sounds very excited. And that kind of energy that he's kind of transmitting feeds off not only into the fans, but also into his players. And I mean, you know, he's had a pretty good track history with, you know, what he's done. I know it's not been in kind of the adult league because it's been usually with, you know, the under categories of, you know, U23s and below where he's had this most success, you know, the Olympics, the Libertadores too, the U23 Libertadores. And the one chance he had here with San Luis, I think he did a pretty good job too. So, it's hard not to be ecstatic the way that you kind of all were mentioning it in the group chat. So looking forward to it. Now, we talked about, you guys talked about it, especially about the last podcast, you and Chris kind of dove into it and specifically spoke about, you know, not having a coach and the fact that it took us well extended, what, over 20 something days for America to finally kind of have a coach concrete. We know that he wasn't the first option. It's not like Greg Berhalter was probably going to be the number one choice for America. What was your sensation leading up to the announcement of Jardine? And did you think that there was a better option out there for us?
I was kind of getting frustrated with all this because, you know, especially looking at the, as the club as a whole, it was obvious, you know, that Baños and the board and everybody was off guard with Thano resigning, you know, because I think even then, you know, it took you this long to find somebody. And, you know, now that we did, now you got to get back to the important thing, which is getting the signings, getting those refusals in the club and everything. Because, I mean, the only person that's really been signed is Kevin. And, you know, obviously the club is linked with different players that bring in and everything like that. And yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, I think Chris said it. I think we're going to look at Leagues Cup as like a preseason, but obviously it kind of sucks that no new signings could have come in because the ordeal of having to find a coach, having to find the manager, you know, especially wanting somebody there to get a feel for the team and then get input. And it was like, okay, this is what I want. I think these are the signs we should go for, and this is where we can be better. So now I just feel like the process has kind of slowed. The process has kind of taken a detour. But now with Jardine in, you know, I think it's just going to be, now it's going to be a little bit more fast paced because we're going to see, hopefully the signings come in soon. Obviously, though, it's going to be a bit because obviously the first game of the season on Friday. But you know, it was it felt like a novella. I think Christian even said it too. I don't necessarily think with everybody that was linked with the club, with the rumors going around, I don't think there was really any better option. I think obviously, like we kind of said, with what you've seen, what he did with San Luis, especially, I think the second leg, you know, whenever America played them in the quarterfinals, you know, I think it says a lot to what he wants to do. It says a lot to how he can get his players to play, especially whenever they have nothing to lose. You know, and they're an underdog, especially whenever San Luis came into the Azteca, that second leg. I think it says a lot about his style, his coaching, and how he can motivate his players. So I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, a lot of positive stuff to kind of take away from Jardine, but it was a Santiago's Baño special, you know, leaving it to the last minute to, you know, pushing it and extending it as far as it could go. Because, I mean, ideally, I mean, no one expected we expected Tan Ortiz to get fired.
Yeah.
We didn't expect him to quit. And I think that was the thing that kind of shocked everyone. I didn't think that they thought about having kind of a plan B in that situation. And I know there was talks about, you know, potentially something when he was talking to him, be like, you know what, stay another year, season, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, Tan Ortiz came and said what he said. That's behind us, you know, and Santiago Baños had to push forward, move forward, and he just took too long. I think, it's like you guys mentioned, it was like a novella. We had names thrown up and down like crazy. I'm only glad that there was actually really good names being thrown out there, not like the time where we didn't know who was going to be our coach after Miguel Herrera, and people were saying Memo Vázquez and Sergio Bueno. And I told you guys, the minute that I have to make that graphic, I'm done. I'm done with this. So I'm glad that those names did not resurface, did not get back and rumored. So yeah. It was nice to see that there was a lot of kind of high caliber names being thrown at us. We stuck with one.
Yeah, I think even names you might have not necessarily agreed with, you know, I mean, I think it's kind of like you said, you know, at least it wasn't like the Memo Vázquez and stuff like that. You know, there are different names that were, I guess, in a sense, like higher caliber, even if you didn't want them as the manager.
No, yeah, 100% agreed. The only name that we didn't get, and I know Dylan, me and you were rooting for, was Ruben Roman Romano.
Yes, low-key, in the bottom of my heart, I was hoping for that.
Same. Absolutely same. But yeah, overall, it's nice to finally have an idea of who's going to be our coach and kind of have his philosophy going forward. You spoke about the signings and then the lack of signings. You know, regardless of who the manager was going to be, we knew that we needed a right back. We didn't have a right back. We only had Miguel Ayun, and you can't really try to win the league with Miguel Ayun as your starting right back. So it was obvious that the institution had to do something about it right away. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So they got Kevin Alvarez. I applaud them. They did a really good job there. And then it stalls after that, right? Then you get Jardine, and then you think things are going to start picking up, and it stalls after that too. Like, we have not had anyone come into the club. Granted, I know that we have to move players, but Aquino has been let go. Federico Viñas has been let go. Roger Martinez is already out of a contract. Looks like, actually, Friday is his last day with America. And unless something crazy happens, I doubt they're going to re-sign him. So he's out. Who else is also left? Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's it, right?
Yeah, but I was sitting here trying to think too, but that's all I can think of the top of my head right now.
Well, obviously, Mere and Ortero are back. Actually, Ortero ended up going back to Sporting Gijón in Spain. So he's out of the question. I think Mere, they've been trying to find a place to relocate him. So there's been some incorporations because of their loans coming to an end. I think the biggest one that maybe the one that shows somewhat promise is Mauro Linus, just to have a little bit of depth on that left-hand side with Capicita out for an extended period, about 3 months. But it's frustrating because you've lost players to their national team, especially Mexico right now with the Gold Cup. We have, I believe, 3 players out there. You're starting center back, you're starting goalkeeper, and you're starting striker. You just kind of cut some dead weight with some of the foreigners.
Wait, but are you still including Memo on that on the America squad? Because you said goalkeeper. Oh, Malagón.
Malagón. Yeah. No. I wish I was. But that's what frustrates me. I was just like, and it's nothing against Malagón, but if Memo's going to be there and you know he's going to be your starting goalkeeper, why not just let Malagón go? You know?
Yeah.
So, but I get why he has to be there. So obviously there's a lot of questions, and the idea was, okay, we bring in a manager before these friendlies that we had in Texas, and you know, you bring in a manager beforehand, he gets to know the squad, sees a couple of players, and finally gets to finalize who he wants to bring in. Jardine doesn't start coaching until after those friendlies are over. He has an idea now. Now he has an idea who he wants to bring in. It's a little bit too late. You're talking a week before the league starts. Now it's less because obviously it's Tuesday when we're recording this game. League starts on Friday for us, which I think is a weird day to have America play on a Friday. At the Azteca, but it's again, now we're playing catch up, and that's the one thing that I hate about this is it's the front office always does this. It's a Baño specialty. It's, we know who we need and we know what needs to get done, but it's not going to get done until 3, 4, 5 weeks later. And that's the deteriorating part, because you're looking at this team, and thankfully, and I'm saying this, you know, thankfully there's a leagues cup, because if there wasn't, it would be very worrisome, because it would mean that our, you know, reinforcements would incorporate themselves like week 3, week 4, and wouldn't have an adjustment until week 6, week 7. And by then you're halfway through the season.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. That's the frustrating part too. And what I was trying to say, hopefully things kind of pick up here soon too, just because, you know, with the manager situation going on, you know, it sucks because, you know, I look at it just like, okay, like if Jardine like knew he was like on the verge of like being there, like, did he even watch the first game? Or, you know, did, obviously I think he watched the second game at least, but did he watch the first? Did he watch the second? Because it's already hard enough that you're not actually training with these players to see them, and you see them have live action like that, and you think, you know, is that enough for him to realize, like, okay, like, these are the players that, like you said, that I want to play at the moment until we get these new signings, or until we get the players back from the Gold Cup.
No, yeah, I agree. I mean, because been doing things very slow paced, and specifically I think the start of this season, just very lethargic from the front office. And, you know, we don't know everything that happens behind the scenes. I'm sure there's hurdles that they have to go through. And us being who we are, I know it does not make life easy for them. But they've been there long enough. They should know how to get through these hurdles and have an understanding. It's just, I have a sense of like, you know, we're being very lethargic. Even with the jersey release is tomorrow, right? So we're presenting our new kit. But that means that it's only like giving people 2 days to then order it to be ready for game day on Friday, which I think is weird. I mean, some teams have already been doing it from 2 weeks ago, presenting themselves. So again, it's just stuff around the club, the institution, that make me feel like it's very lethargic movement from the front office. I'm sure there's reasons behind it, but again, it doesn't help and you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot. And like I said, thankfully there's a Leagues Cup, right? And we'll get to this when we talk Leagues Cup later down the road, but you know, it's as much of a preseason as it is, America still needs to find a way to make it a challenge for themselves, because we know that it's a legitimate trophy, so America's kind of obligated to win it regardless of whether or not, you know, it's just kind of how this institution works. So we'll see what happens. And I mean, a lot of questions as to who's going to come here and there. The latest right now we're hearing is Maxi, what is it?
Gomez.
I tweeted it out too. Maxi Morales?
Hold on.
I want to say it's
Gomez. Yeah.
Maxi Gomez. There you go.
Yeah.
The Uruguayan striker, I think 25 years old, playing in the Turkish league. He's rumored to be the kind of ideal number nine that America wants. So they're going to try to go in for him. You know, for the first time, Dylan, I don't think the issue has been financial restrictions. I think we've loaded off a couple of players. Independiente finally is paying us back. I think there's some money there that things can get done. It's just, again, I don't know what's halting these situations. Other than that, I mean, the Julian Quiñones one, that one seemed to have... That one was funny because it picked up like very heavily. Like, I think it was like either yesterday or 2 days ago, it picked up heavily that it was going to happen. And then by the end of the night, it died. It was like, no.
Yeah, no.
He's not going to become an American player. So obviously the biggest rumor right now is that America needs a number nine. With Henry Martin being out, and potentially you're thinking that this Mexico side, in theory, should go all the way to the finals, you're going to be without a Henry for a while. I know that a lot of people are saying, well, we have youth players, and by all means, yes, but none of them convinced me in these preseason friendlies. And that's just me being sincere. So if they didn't convince me, a guy who's, you know, watching them on the screen, can you imagine if they're going to convince the new coach?
Yeah. No, yeah, exactly. And like, you know, kind of like I was mentioning too, you know, you're hoping, you know, once Heidi Neves was announced, you know, things would pick up in that area, but it just really hasn't. And other than, you know, Gomez now being rumored with the club. You know, this is just kind of the point that we're at, because we go 3 weeks with the league until we break for Leagues Cup.
Four. Because it goes all the way to the Jornada 4.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just one of those things. It's just frustrating, because you obviously want to see the best from your club, but it's so hard to right now when your board and your club, you know, doesn't go after these signings as fast as you want them to, because you know it, everything's going to be right around the corner. Especially too, because I always thought it was kind of weird how the Clausura ends and it just doesn't seem like a month later, like, oh, we're already back in preseason, and then we get two preseason friendly games, and then the Apertura starts. And so it's just like you don't have that much time in between already. And then you already turned this manager search into a novella. And then you have Baños going on through the internet talking this and that and everything, dude. It's just like, dude, like, just go find the manager and go find the players and let's go, dude. Like, we don't got time to kill. But apparently Baños did. So
he's like, I'll sit down and have a, you know, in-depth interview with you. You remember when he did that? I want to say maybe it was when they fired Miguel Herrera. Was it when they fired Miguel Herrera? He went on to the NA as well. And remember he said, oh yeah, Roger's not going to play for us anymore. He's done. And Roger ended up playing for another 2 years with America. So I can't take that man serious when he goes on
no.
and stuff like that.
So. No, and it's hard too. And like, I'm I'm probably wrong because obviously we just cover America and we don't cover any other club, or at least I don't ever see anything but like anything like this. But whatever person like Bañuelos from any other club goes on like Through the Annual or Fox Deportes and does something like that, dude? Like, who does that? Who does
I think the only person I've ever seen do that, I think, was probably Pachuca's president. And he, you know, was saying that the federation's corrupt and this and that, but he didn't sit down and kind of open the doors to the club, you know. Bañuelos, I don't know. I get why they push him to do it, because, right, Televisa, they own us, so they want to find a way to kind of save face and be like, okay, look, we're going to have the guy in charge come and talk to our experts, and we're going to put him under pressure, quote unquote. So again, I think it's weird that, you know, he went in and does that kind of stuff. Because like you said, there's no time to waste. Like, you know, that hour you spent there, or not even an hour, because Dylan, you work in TV in a sense, and you understand that there's, you know, you have to get there ahead of time, you know, make a wardrobe, blah, 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 get ready, get set. And then afterwards, too, there's a whole... So that man was probably there for like 4 hours.
Yeah.
Chilling.
Probably about a good two, you know, because, you know, like you said, you got to get there ahead of time. And it's not like you just show up like 5 minutes before the interview and everything. But I mean, yeah, especially too, like, I mean, I didn't get to watch it, but like, especially too, like, if you throw in the breaks and stuff like that, and then, you know, I mean, you're just there. I mean, it's just kind of like, godly, like, you could have been using that time to actually assign somebody.
Yeah. On a call to, you know, wherever you had a call. But, I mean, we'll see what happens with Bañuelos and if he can deliver. I think he's slowly been trying to save face, and it's kind of helped. If America would have made the final and lift the trophy, it's a whole different conversation at this point. Yeah. But he's trying to, you know, put out the fires as fast as he can. Well, at his pace, we know it's not that fast, but we'll have to wait and see. But as far as signings go, you're only going to expect Kevin to start on Friday against Juarez. And I could be wrong. You know, from here on to Friday, we might get two new signings and things might change radically, right? Not to say that they're going to be fielded on Friday, but then, you know, the vibe, or at least the tension dies down a little bit in and around Coapa, and the fans kind of have a sigh of relief and say, okay, it looks like this team is moving in the direction that we needed to go. Because the fans are kind of fed up with it too, and rightfully so. Three times being knocked out in the semifinal, consistent failure when it comes to Liguillas. You know, they had a banner when they were playing in, what was it, McAllen, that it said that, you know, the shirt fits them too big, that they're scared to lift the trophy or whatnot. Mm-hmm. So it's understandably that, you know, the fans have a voice, and they're using it to kind of let the team know, like, hey, it's not been good enough. Like, we need a title. We should have a title by now. And so I know Bañuelos said, you know, we know that we're in debt to them and we have to do everything. And that's why I think the appointment of Jardine was a good one. And now you have to help him as well. So it's not just one thing to kind of appoint him and be like, okay, work magic with whatever we have here. You also have to give him some tools to kind of form, you know, his own squad and his own way to potentially help us lift that trophy. Because it's going to be another Solari situation if they don't, right? How many times does Solari want X player in this and that? And he had to do miracles with a Piojo squad.
No, yeah, I definitely agree too. I mean, especially like now with him there, he's going to see what he has to work with. And then plus, obviously, you know, he's going to have that 3 or 4 weeks in the league, which I mean, he's not new to the league or anything like that, but we had those 3 or 4 weeks to see what he's really working with, for him to see what he needs and everything. So I think these first 3 weeks are going to be crucial in terms of not necessarily just getting points before you break for League's Cup, but to also get a more of a sense of like where your strengths are or with the team and where your weaknesses are and where can you be better. And this is whenever Bañuelos has to look at that and listen to Jardine too, and just be like, okay, we're gonna do our best to get what you want so we can succeed, so we can have that 14th.
No, yeah, I 100% agree in that. And actually, you stand corrected. It is up to the third jornada, so it's 3 weeks, and then you break for League's Cup. But you mentioned something very important. It's the racking up of points. Like, America can't give themselves the luxury of taking these next couple of games and being like, okay, you know, a draw suffice, or, you know, maybe losing a game here and there. Like, you have Juarez at home, Querétaro away, and Puebla at home. Like, you have to walk away with 9 points coming into League's Cup.
Yeah.
Because after League's Cup, the break, it gets a little tougher, right? You have to go away to Atlas. Then you face Leon, you know, just 2 weeks after that. And then you have two Clásicos back-to-back with Cruz Azul and Chivas. Like, it's not going to be easy. Like, you have to rack up those points. So it's understandable that, you know, there's going to come some hiccups and some, you know, disruptions when trying to get things done, but they need to get this done ASAP. Like, they can't just be like, oh, the summer transfer window doesn't close until, you know, the end of the end of August? Jesus.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So he can't be like, well, I got the end until the end of August, because if that's the case, guess what? We're gonna be like six jornadas in, and we're barely gonna be getting one or two signings.
And then it's just like, by then, you know, the new player that's coming is gonna be ready by the end of the like last 4 weeks, you know, by the time they get adjusted and everything. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's frustrating, dude. It really is.
Absolutely frustrating, but we'll keep you guys up to date with everything in regards to the transfer window for America. I'm expecting there to be kind of big news ahead. I saw someone on Twitter say that because, you know, America announced that they were going to have their jersey launch tomorrow. And someone, I think, I think Mimo had tweeted that tomorrow's, you know, they're going to announce the jersey. And someone replied, oh, they're going to announce the jersey with Quiñones wearing it. And I just kind of laughed at that. And I was like, I mean, that'd be great if it was actually true. But I really don't think that's going to be the case. But
no,
it's just a little funny thing that I saw on Twitter. Follow us on all our social media platforms, especially Twitter. We kind of keep you guys up to date with everything going on in the world of Las Águilas and America, as much as transfers, you know, rumors, anything. Make sure you guys stay there. We'll keep you guys up to date with everything. I know Christian and Chris are really good during this time period to kind of weave out the news and rumors and kind of give you guys the truth. And sometimes we, you know, we get caught up with a couple of headlines, but for the most part, we try to use as much credible and reliable sources as well. So
I think Chris is caught up in the headlines the most.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. So, but he's learning as he goes. So as long as we don't have a repeat of the Diego Reyes situation, we're fine. Right, Dylan?
Oh my gosh. I freaking hate that so much.
Dark times in the Eagle Eye podcast verse, if we'll leave it at that. Well, I think that's as much as we have on transfer rumors and transfer updates. America's still getting paid from Independiente is what I have here on my notes. So expect that to kind of be fully paid out by maybe next week. We'll keep you guys updated as well. As far as America going public and into the Mexican stock market, that's kind of died down a little bit, which is worrying me. This is what I mean, Dylan, where the team is very lethargic right now. Like, things are moving at a very slow pace. But hey, when it comes to, you know, clubs in public, slow pace, you know, you have to look elsewhere. Manchester United still don't have a complete buyout. So it's both of our teams here, very frustrating in regards to the financial department, Dylan.
Yes. I don't even know what to say, dude, because it's just so frustrating. It's just like, why me and why these stupid sports teams have me like this, you know? This is why I go to therapy.
I don't blame you, man. It's just, I feel it every day, every day. The first thing I do is I go on Twitter and, you know, well, first thing I do is wake up and I check to see that my son's okay. And then I go on Twitter and then I see, okay, no news, no America news, no concrete America or Manchester United news. And I just lie there awake thinking, why me? Woe is me, you know?
Woe is me.
And then as far as updates, we already talked about the kit being announced. And I think that's pretty much it. Yeah, I guess we can just kind of jump into the game against Juarez. So let's do that. So America kicks off their campaign against FC Juarez on a Friday. Nonetheless,
the worst day for it to start for me.
Yeah, it's just a weird day, odd day for America. Hasn't played on a Friday in years. All right, years. Let me put it in that context. So again, odd time. I think that's the only Friday game we have at home. So I don't know what the logistics is behind it. Probably should have done some research, but regardless, that game is going to be at 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 Central for you, Dylan, and for our friends over on the East Coast, that's going to be 9 p.m. So it's going to be the Estadio Azteca live via TUDN. So make sure you guys have yourselves ready for what should be hopefully an interesting first debut for Jardine. Now, it's not going to be an easy game, mainly just due to the fact that we have quite a few players out, right? The biggest one, injury, being Cabecita Rodriguez. You won't be able to field him. As the aforementioned players that have left already can't take into consideration, and you, the Gold Cup. So it's looking a little bit dense for Jardine going forward. I'm going to give you my predicted starting 11, Dylan. And you kind of tell me whether or not you kind of go with that, or what you would change, or what you see differently for Jardine in this first jornada. So I'm going with Oscar in goal on the right. You're going to obviously have Kevin on the left. I think you're going to have Fuentes. He's been kind of the talisman for America going into the left-hand side of the fullback position. I don't intend for that to change with a new manager, just because I don't think Chava Reyes is kind of up there. In a center back partnership, you're going to have, unfortunately, Cáceres and Néstor Araujo. I would love to see an Emilio Lara, but I don't think he's going to get the chance just right away. In the center mid, you're going to have, unfortunately, No Fidalgo. He's serving his two-match suspension, so he's going to be out. So you're mostly going to have Richard Sanchez. And this is where you kind of get a bit of a curveball. I'm going Jonathan Dos Santos. So, I mean, kind of the best we have at the moment. On the left-hand side, and then this is tricky because I would typically say Brian Rodriguez, but there was rumors that he was using Brian up top. So I'm going Mauro Linus on the left-hand side. On the right, Leo Suarez. In the center attacking position, Diego Valdez. And striker, Brian Rodriguez, which, by the way, he has played there before for LAFC. So it's not like it's going to be something new to him. That's my starting 11, Dylan. What do you think? Will you back it up, or do you think that there's things we can tweak around?
No, I think that's the best you got, unless you obviously want to throw an academy player in there, but I don't think you do.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think that this is kind of the best he has at the moment, which is unfortunate because, you know, this is not an A team, necessarily, not even a B team. I think it's like a B/C team here. So it's unfortunate, like I said, that we're in this situation. Ideally, the thing was that America had a center attacking, you know, player, like a center forward for Jardine to kind of use in this game. We know that that's not going to be the case. Even if they sign someone right now, if we were, you know, if our phones rang right now and said America signed X player, there's no way he comes into Mexico City, trains, all that stuff, and is ready by Friday. Just unrealistic. So it's kind of what we have. And I mean, we still have to back this team and say that they have to get a result at the Estadio Azteca because you're at home, and no disrespect to FC Juarez, but it's Juarez. So yeah, you know, unfortunately is what we have, but I don't expect it to be a pretty game. I know a lot of people are kind of praising Jardine for his style of play, but I don't expect this to be the prime Jardine example. No. And I don't think a lot of people should read too much into this one, just so much as America goes in, gets the job done, and gets 3 points.
Yeah, and that's what I'm looking for too. I mean, like you said, like, you know, I think we'll see the flashes of what we want, what Jardine wants, especially with this group. But I think once he starts integrating the players that are out with Gold Coast, especially like with like Zendejas, and then hopefully Henry too, and Obviously, Mata going back in goal, and you know, whenever other players get signed, I think that's whenever we'll be able to see more of what he wants. But I do think we'll see some flashes over these next 3 weeks, which we really hope for, at least, you know. But by no means this is going to be clean or the end product. I mean, the end product is still a ways down the line.
Agreed. And then we probably won't see that end product probably until like maybe the Jornada 5 or 6, because it's just kind of the reality for America at the moment. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Hadi Neves is probably the most happiest man that you would ever find in this situation, to think that he has this starting 11 and he's still happy about being at America. Other managers would be like, I am in such a terrible situation. And he's just like, yeah, this is fine. We're going to ride the wave. So
yeah, we'll
see.
And I think thinking that too, and going back to what you said about whenever, you know, he came out and he just didn't like tiptoe around the, like, oh, like you got to win, you know, with the club. I think he knew what he was getting himself into. I think maybe that's what was attractive about the job for him, even though he might have not been the first choice for Baños in the club. But I think he knew what he was getting himself into in terms of like what the expectation is, week in, week out, apertura in, clausura out, you know, kind of thing. And especially with the way the squad is, and how much we, I guess, in a sense, like, not only say criticize it, but how much we talk about it and where it can be better. And, you know, some of the players too, we might criticize, but I think he knew what he was getting himself into. I think he wanted that challenge. I think he wanted to prove himself. He wants to prove himself now, saying like, okay, like, look, I might not have that much, you know, senior team experience besides, you know, what I did at San Luis and the times that I was caretakers in Brazil. But here I am, you know, with the biggest club in Mexico, probably one of the biggest clubs in all the Americas. And, you know, I'm about to go out and do it with them and win trophies with this team. And I can say that I started with this, and then here am I going to end with the end product. You know what I mean? So like, I just think he's going to live up to what he says. And, you know, I think he knew what he was getting himself into whenever he took the job.
Oh yeah, of course. And I think he's painting himself the most ideal kind of cinematic story that he could possibly do, right? Have start from nothing and end with glory. I think what he's trying to paint, not just in his mind, but I think the minds of all Americanistas. So it'll be interesting. So again, America under the microscope yet again now starts again for them on Friday for what should be hopefully a good season under Jardine. And I mean, hopefully fans are patient, because it's kind of a reminder again. It's like, this is not his squad. This is not his final kind of plan. And you have to kind of be a little bit more adjusted to everything. So we'll have to wait and see what happens.
You can't even say Kevin's really his signing either.
No, of course not. That's 100% a, you know, a Baño signing right there.
Yeah. Yep. So
we'll see.
I have to wait and see. As you always say, Evan.
Yeah, no, fingers crossed. I mean, we're trying to be optimistic here. That's kind of something new from you and me. So we'll see if we're able to paint that side of the story, and if Hardinet's a correct brush in order for us to do so, which, again, optimism, but it's kind of hard to do so once you remember the starting 11 that we're going to have this Friday. So just make sure you guys stay tuned for all our coverage. Should be exciting, should be fun. And we'll see what this roller coaster entails for all of us in the Americanismo. All right, Dylan. Anything else you want to add on before we kind of wrap it up here?
No, just I wish I was more excited for Friday, but you know, it's just such a bad week for me, the way work is going for me right now, that I'm probably gonna miss a good chunk of the game or even miss all of the game. But you know, I'm really just looking forward to the season and just seeing where things go. You know, obviously we're still expecting a couple more signings, especially with the way things have been, I guess, better for us since financially. And then with Hardy Neck obviously coming in. But no, I'm actually looking forward to this season to see how things go. I'm just hopefully by the end of the season we'll be back on here talking about the 14th.
Agreed. The Jogo Bonito era is upon us. All right, Dylan, before we kind of wrap it up here, one last question here, kind of a little bit of off the topic, but your rating for the new Manchester United jersey?
Give it 7.
You know what? I was thinking the same. I was like, it's a solid seven. I kind of like the idea they were going with. I think the delivery could have been a little bit better, but not a bad kit. And then I'm assuming you've seen the rumors of what the jersey is going to be from it. I mean, at this point, it's practically confirmed, but your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, that about a 6.5.
Yeah, it's ugly. I mean, I know there's some people that it's growing on them. It's ugly for me still. And you have no idea how difficult it's been to kind of orchestrate the new graphics we have for this season around this, because I just think the pattern is so stupid. I mean, whoever designed this, I mean, pretty much it's Nike with a little bit of America, just did not do a good job.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's always one of those things for me too with jerseys where like it has to grow on me. Like I might not like it right off the bat, but then like once I see it, like maybe in like 3 or 4 games, I'm just like, oh, you know, it's not that bad after all.
I mean, it's definitely gonna grow on me because I just know myself already. I mean, how many times have I said that on the podcast? It's just not a good jersey, and then end up tweeting about it that it's been shipped to my house. So I know it's gonna grow on me, but it just it'd be nice to just kind of have like one that just off the bat you're like, okay, you know what? Yeah, this is nice. This is nice. You know what America is really good at is a third kit. Like they've been really good at those. Like off the bat, you think those, you're like, okay, nice, absolutely nice. So we'll have to wait and see if it grows on this. It's actually a tribute to the 1973/1974 champions of that time for America. So that's why they kind of emulate the crest being in the middle of the jersey.
Yeah. So
just kind of wanted to give that little note to all of you listening.
I think they only did the jersey like that so they didn't have to change the shorts.
Yeah,
it just has to be, just like we'll just use the same shorts that we did in the Clausura. So,
and that's why we save money, and that's why we can sign players this year.
Exactly.
Manu's found a shortcut in that sense. All right. I think that's kind of the last thing I had in that sense. Thank you to all of our listeners. I hope you guys are excited for a new season. We're gonna try to keep you guys up to date with everything. We have a lot of exciting things coming this year. Competition-wise, we have Leagues Cup, we have CONCACAF Champions League for this team as well. So a lot of emotional roller coasters to kind of go through this season. And Dylan, I'm for one excited to be able to share this with all our listeners and with you guys as well.
No, yeah, most definitely. You know, it's fine to get back at this, you know, after so long, especially after the devastating loss in the Clausura. But, you know, that's neither here or there. We're here now. So let's just move forward and see how things go.
Absolutely. And you just reminded me, America also announced that they are having a friendly against, well, I don't know how much of a friendly it could be called, against Chivas here in Los Angeles at the Rose Bowl. Amazing. I say that in very loose terms because the Rose Bowl is probably one of the most terrible stadiums to kind of go to. Parking is absolutely the worst. But it'll be interesting to see what that entails for this America side. I'm assuming it's going to be during Fecha FIFA.
Yeah.
So
I got kind of excited. I thought it said Cotton Bowl, and I looked at the date real quick, and then I looked back at the graphic of the game and stuff, and I saw Rose Bowl. I was like, oh, so got kind of excited.
Was that the Cotton Bowl 2 years ago, I want to say?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I remember because me and Kari went to go cover it. So shout out to Kari. Huge shout out to Kari. She just got married with our good friend Tom. So shout out to them. Absolutely amazing. We love you guys and are excited for your guys' new chapter as well. So shout out to our friends.
Yes. Congratulations to them. Happy for them.
Yes, absolutely. But all right, we'll kind of wrap it up here then. And then I know I've said that for like the last 4 or 5 times, but no, this is literally where we're going to end it here. Dylan, again, it's been fun. It's been great as always. It's reminiscence of old times when it was just me and you, but we'll be back here to talk all things Club America. Most likely Chris will come back and join us. Will we get Christian ever to come back? I don't know. He's always seems to be always doing something. So we'll have to wait and see. But shout out to AJ as well. Just want to say that because he did an amazing job with the ladies and the ladies won the trophy. So AJ, that 100% belongs to you. With that said, I hope you guys have a wonderful day. Take care. And as always, Arriba America.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram @Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. and subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.